After a couple weeks break away from Jonah, we're back in this little book that we'll continue to work on for a few more weeks. And the last time we considered this book, we looked at this entire prayer at length and reflected on some of the significance of it. But there was one part of it that I want to come back to look at that I didn't want to just glance over, but I wanted to really focus upon. And it's the last phrase of Jonah 2, verse 9. There are other things in that verse that we'll perhaps look at in a minute. But that last phrase of the verse, salvation comes from the Lord. And it's an incredibly important phrase for us to have an understanding of the nature of our salvation. And where does our salvation come from? Is it something we work up to God, or is it God coming to us? What's the root and foundation of our salvation? And so I want to take this thought, and it kind of parallels a little bit of what we've been doing in our Sunday school class, our adult Sunday school class over recent weeks. But I want to have direct your attention to the idea of salvation coming from the Lord, or belonging to the Lord, or salvation is of the Lord, the way it's variously translated. And to look at the source of our salvation in its plan and accomplishment, the application of salvation to us sinners, and then the successful completion of our salvation, that salvation is of the Lord. And the question of the source of salvation is extremely important. Is this something we accomplish? Do we do something to accomplish our salvation, or is salvation that something comes to us? Are we the ones who look for God, or is it really in reality that God is searching for us? As we learn from Paul in Romans chapter 3, no man seeks after God. None of us by nature are looking for God. But God, in His amazing and mighty and wonderful mercy, looks for us. It impacts our view of the church and the ministry of the church. What is it? What is our calling? What are we to be about? Francis Mahaffey, who was Mary's dad and Arlena Mahaffey's husband, I thought made a very helpful observation about evangelism that I think relates to this point. He said, evangelism is not bringing men to Christ. Evangelizing is bringing Christ to men. Because men don't want to come to Christ. But we take Christ to men, and God, by His mercy, will save them and redeem them. So Jonah prays salvation, or at the end of his prayer, he makes the statement, salvation belongs to the Lord. And it belongs to the Lord in at least two ways. The source of salvation we see from that prayer is at least two aspects of it. One is, the plan of redemption is of the Lord. Man did not think up the plan of redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ and His sufferings and death. Charles Spurgeon writes, no human intellect and no created intelligence assisted God in the planning of salvation. He contrived the way even as He carried it out Himself. And Paul in Ephesians 1 tells us, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. God planned the plan of redemption before the creation of the world, that through Jesus Christ, you and I would come to know mercy and peace with God. In 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul says, God saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace given to us in Christ before the beginning of time. So God has saved us and called us to a holy calling because of His own plan and progress, His own plan and purpose, which He gave us in Christ before the creation of the world. Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The source of our salvation, the source of salvation that comes to us from God, is God Himself. He planned it, He ordained it, and He carried it out. We have no part in that. It's all of grace. He not only planned the salvation that we experience, He performed all the work of our redemption. The gospel isn't what can you do. The gospel is what God has done that you trust in. Even in the very advent of Jesus Christ, the shepherds weren't looking for any kind of announcement that night. They were just busy shepherding their sheep in the fields that night. It was God. Of course, He had planned and sent Jesus in the womb of Mary months before, but it was God on that night that sent the angels who came to the shepherd and said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." He announces it. He declares it. He accomplishes it. It was God the Father who sent His Son that He would die on the cross for our sins. It was God the Father who raised up the Lord Jesus. You and I cannot make an offering sufficient to pay the penalty for our sins. We can't offer enough good works. And all our good works are corrupted anyway by our sinful nature. If there is ever going to be salvation, it has to be from the Lord. Because it would never be from us. And this is what Jonah has come to see as he's there in the belly of the fish. What had he contributed to the whole scenario in his life? He ran from God. He was disobedient to God. He was trying to get as far away from the presence of God as he could. And what did God do? God sent a storm that he had to be thrown overboard, and he's thrown into the waters. And what did God do? God sent a fish to swallow him up. And so there is Jonah in the belly of the fish. It was his own doing that got him there. And he had no hope except in the Lord. So the final analysis, he says, salvation is of the Lord. He had done nothing to contribute to the story except his own sin. There was one time a person was sharing their testimony of faith with another person, and they were just commenting about how God had had mercy on them, and God had opened their heart to believe the truth, and they were so wonderfully appreciative of all that God had done. And when they were done, the person said, "What did you do? You didn't say anything about what you did." He said, "Oh, that's right. That was a big failing on my part. My part was running away from God, and His part was running to get me." Salvation is of the Lord. And when we really grab a hold of that, it becomes the foundation for true and genuine hope in our lives. Salvation is of the Lord, not only in the planning and execution of it, but also in the application of it to you and to me. We're not left on our own to come to faith. God not only planned our redemption, He not only provided the Savior for our redemption, but He sends the Holy Spirit to get a hold of our hearts so that we might come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He might turn our heart. There would be those who would say, "Well, Jonah was in the belly of the fish because he had made a mess of his life, but then he had to decide to turn to the Lord." But the problem is, that's not Jonah's testimony. He doesn't say anything in here about anything he did, except that God had visited judgment on him because of what he did. But he knows, just as surely as you and I know, that the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. They are spiritually discerned. God has to turn our heart. He has to change our minds. He has to convert our wills. He has to work in our hearts. And it was in the belly of the fish when Jonah could do none else. He cries out, salvation is of the Lord. It's all of God. It's not of me. It's all by grace. God powerfully applied his spirit in the life of Jonah to turn him. Charles Spurgeon, in preaching on this particular text, tells an interesting story. Some of you remember your British history and that Charles I was ultimately executed, but he was imprisoned before that on a little island, the Isle of Wight. But his friends weren't abandoning him. His friends had planned for his escape, and they had provided for it. They had boats there. They had all the arrangements to get him away to safety, and it was all arranged on a particular day that he would escape through a window, and his friends would pick him up and take him to safety. So all was prepared. Problem was, he couldn't get the window open. And you and I are like Charles I in that room by nature. All the provisions for salvation can be there. But unless God opens the window, is of no use to us. As Spurgeon preaches, he says, if God had provided every means of escape and only required him to get out of his dungeon, he would have remained there to all eternity. Why? Because the sinner by nature is dead in sin. And if God does require the sinner dead in sin that he should take the first step, then he requires just that which renders salvation as impossible under the gospel as it ever was under the law. The power must be given to him of the Spirit. Salvation belongs to the Lord in its planning, in its accomplishment, and in its application. So that you and I, when we come to faith in Christ, what do we say? Thank you, God, that I was so smart and so capable that I could do this. But what we do is we get on our knees and thank you, God, for having mercy on me, a sinner. But there's also hope in this phrase that salvation is the Lord in its completion. After we become Christians, we're certainly called to and we're obligated to live an obedient life and a holy life. That's what God designs for us. There's good works that God has created for us in Christ Jesus, that we should do them. That's Ephesians 2, after talking about salvation is by grace through faith. But we still have the question, okay, so God has saved me and he's put me on the path. Now is it up to me to get to the end? Is it all on me? Am I on my own? And the answer is no. Which is a great help to us, because if you know yourself at all, you know you fall on your face time after time after time after time. Where is your hope? It's in that salvation is from the Lord. That he promises to keep you to the end. The Father promises to keep us. He who began a good work in you, Paul says in Philippians 1, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the shepherd, promises to keep us. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The Holy Spirit will keep us. Paul writes, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. I'm not in any way minimizing the importance of obedience or living a holy life, but what I'm saying to you is your motivation to do that and your confidence to do that is that your hope is not in you, it's in the Lord, because salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. And if he puts you in it, He will keep you to the end. If you put yourself in it, then you can put yourself out of it. If your hope is in you, then your hope is only as strong as the person your hope is in. Don't hope in me. And really, don't hope in yourself, but hope in the Lord. Because salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. And you live confidently. And Jonah's response to the grace of God is, again, his commitments to follow the Lord. He voices his voice of thanksgiving. He promises to be obedient to God, obviously with God's help. He reminds himself there in verse 8, those who trust in idols, forsake their hope of steadfast love. We begin to, when we see salvation is of the Lord, we see the vanity and the emptiness of what this world has to offer. We see the emptiness and the vanity of human strength, but we find complete strength in the power of Almighty God. So my encouragement to you today is, and my question to you today is, have you trusted in that Lord? Is that where your hope and confidence is? Do you understand salvation is of the Lord? Not of yourself, not of other men, but of the Lord. And that your hope is in Him. And if you put your hope in Him, then it's a secure hope to the very end. May you and I be among those whose hope is in the Lord. And the testimony and epitaph of our life is salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray.